Hi, Dave.
Good evening. I just heard Ramona join us. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you great.
Chase, are you with us? I think
can
you
hear
might
me,
be
Dave?
On mute. Hi, Greg. Welcome.
Hey, Chase was up.
Hi, Terry. We're just about a minute away from starting. We're so excited to have everybody with us tonight. Just give us your name and where you're from. We've got a lot of people on the call this evening. Very exciting. Scott will be with us in just a few moments. I was just talking to him about 20 minutes ago. He was at Carson's football practice.
I'm on here, Dave.
Oh, wonderful, Scott. Welcome. And Linda, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Wonderful. Thank you. Everybody's here. How exciting. Well, I'm going to go ahead and put this on a mute line, so just one moment. We have this muted so that you can press star 6 and come off of mute if you'd like to during the course of this call this evening. We're so grateful that you've joined us. And we have a number of guests with us who have not been on a Tuesday night call. So let me take just a quick moment to tell you what we do on Tuesday night. We invite everyone to take a free intentional creation assessment. When you acquire the home study program and this coaching program, which occurs every Tuesday night for 12 months, you will be able to come on this call on a regular basis. And we go through the 6 qualities of an intentional creator. This is Og Mandino for the 21st century. We talk about mastering the art of connecting with other people and the 7 laws of intrinsic validation. How do you do that? Then we talk about goals and expectations and how to use your mind constructively. And in today's world, there are so many things happening. I'm up here working on the book right now. That sucks, but I'm okay. There's just so much going on that is causing anxiety and frustration and overwhelm. And we want to be able to use the 5 constructive ways of using our mind, constructive ways that generate inspired ideas and impressions and solutions to problems that will ignite our passion. Then quality 3 is completing tasks. It's actually being in passion-driven action. We don't work. We may be engaged for 16 or 18 hours a day in passion-driven action in the tangible creation of our dreams, doing the next right thing. Scott always says that to me. Scott is with us tonight, Scott Irwin. I always do the next right thing. It's the next millimeter in the creation of that dream. And then we're going to face issues like discipline and structure, quality number 4, surrendering and letting go of resistance and the need to be right. And then we go into quality number 5, joy in the journey, finding joy. Sometimes things are joyful. Sometimes things are sorrowful. How do we find joy regardless of the circumstances? How can we be all right even when some of those things that are happening are frustrating? How can we find gratitude? How do we want more yet find gratitude for what we have? How do we balance those two? We teach those pieces in quality number 5 and quality number 6, self-esteem, which is what creates challenges in our self-esteem and how do we heal those challenges so that we can be real and genuine and authentic without the need to impress and pretend and feel ashamed or fear. Now, we go through those things over the course of about 8 or 9 weeks, and then we cycle back through again. And it's very interesting that sometimes someone is on the 3rd or 4th cycle of these principles and something finally just comes alive for them. They finally get it. And part of the purpose of tonight is to assist you in that very process. We're not going to teach any new principles tonight. We're going to talk about applying the principles we've already learned in our lives. We can study them. We can even memorize them. But it's so wonderful when we apply them, when we have a breakthrough and something exciting occurs in our life. That's why we're here tonight. We have a special guest with us, 2 actually. one, Scott Irwin, who will be with us in just a few moments. And I'm going to wait just a little bit to share a little bit about Scott's background before I call him to be on the phone. The other person is one of our coaching clients with the Og Mandino Group, Linda. And Linda's with us tonight. She is being coached right now by Nicole Cameron, who's one of our, we just have the most amazing human beings who have been trained and dedicated their lives to helping people make these breakthroughs. I had the privilege of having Nicole and Liz from Canada both stay with Liz Twiddle, stayed at our home for a few days in preparation for going to San Antonio this last summer. Got to know Liz and later her husband Hal. What an amazing man, giving, serving man he is. Linda, you're so blessed to have Nicole as a coach. And we heard about this breakthrough, and we had your permission. And then I said, could Linda come on and just share with us firsthand? Would you take just a moment, Linda, and share with us your breakthrough in your own personal life applying these principles? Would you do that for us, please? Linda, can you hear me okay?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for allowing me to be on tonight, and I really do appreciate Nicole and the work she's doing. I was listening to the third principle, the two questions, and I got a fair distance away into it, and I just felt a little embarrassed actually at first, but then I was excited to realize where I had gotten stuck and that there was something that I could do to get out of where I was stuck. And I had gotten there 11 months into opening my practice. My partner was diagnosed with breast cancer, and I spent 6 years taking care of her while still trying to build a practice, and she eventually passed away. And I just lost, you know, a lot of the joy and my purpose, and just really got stuck. And I was in that I heard where you said people start to downsize and you know, escape reality, and I was like really stuck there. And then you talked about the woman in the painting and being in tangible reality, and I was like, oh my God. And you said, so what? So what if you don't want to do these things? You got to do them because that's the way life is. So I was like, okay, that's exactly where I'm at. And it just felt good to have it identified, and now I can move forward. In this past week, I've been meeting with people, you know, marketers and people that are going to be able to help me move forward, and I'm just really grateful for that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Linda, you're a chiropractor. You're a healer.
Yes.
What's it been like to walk into your practice and know why you're there every morning?
I feel much more love for my patients, and I feel like I can be more present and effective. I've always had a talent to be able to leave stuff at the door and focus, but I guess I didn't realize, you know, how much of me was gone, you know. Does that answer your question?
Oh, yes. I have two more questions for you.
Okay.
Has anybody else noticed your shift? Staff? Patients?
Not yet. Not yet.
There's a fun challenge for you.
Yep.
The next one's kind of sensitive.
Okay.
You lost your partner.
Yes.
When you found your purpose, gosh, Linda, I'm feeling impressed to go somewhere, and I'm hesitant to go here. Was it like
I should always say
back?
No.
Yeah, was it like she came back too? Was it like life came back into the love that you had for this person? I'm not saying that the way I'd like to. Because we kind of die when people close to us die. We can die too.
I guess it was just I felt like I could let her go, and I don't know if it was in something I was listening to with the Ogmandino program or something else, but it was just like I could let her go and send her, you know, light and love and, you know, not all the sadness.
Yeah. And now you get to be alive again.
Right.
Well, for those of you who aren't aware of the material she was talking about, she was talking about completing tasks. This is when we're starting to use our mind constructively and we're getting these inspired ideas, and now we wake up in the morning and we're looking at life and we're going, okay, why am I here? If I don't know it, I don't have a clear vision. I haven't used my mind constructed to get clarity about why I'm going through these motions. That's a great question to have answered in the morning. And the next one is, this is the next thing I'm supposed to be doing. Is this what I'm supposed to be doing right now? And having clarity around each step so that we see the goal in front of us, we know what we need to do in the next year, in the next month, in the next week, and in the next day, and we're fully engaged today in doing the next thing to drive us one step closer to our dream. It's that way that things actually occur. And thank you so much for sharing, Linda.
You're welcome.
As you're sharing, Ramon and I were on a bicycle ride this afternoon, which is a rare thing in the middle of the day, and my staff will smile because they'll know that I'm finally unwinding for a few days up here working on the book. And we were talking about a special event we just experienced this last weekend. Ramona and two of our sons and one of our daughters completed a triathlon. Three of us a sprint triathlon and two the Olympic version. And we were riding along on the bicycles today talking about this very principle, about having a clear vision a year ago, having a purpose each day, and executing and bringing our dreams into fruition, knowing why we're in the gym, for an example, you knowing why you're with a patient, knowing why you're in healing mode with this person today. It's knowing what we're doing that gives so much meaning and purpose to what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Triathlon seems to pale in comparison to your experience. I almost hesitated to even say anything because you're dealing with something of such magnitude as a loss of a loved one, someone you love dearly. And but what a great thing for us all to apply. Have a clear vision, know why we're here, and take action each day to accomplish it. Now, those seem like little things, but really that's what life's all about. Otherwise, we're in chaos and frustration. Wow. Thank you, Linda.
You're welcome.
Thank you for sharing. And we wish you the best in your chiropractic practice.
Thank you.
I've said this to very few people. When I was born, I had a problem with my bowel system, and I was crying incessantly for 6 months. And my mother was inspired to take me to a chiropractor who did some adjustments and did some massage of my abdomen. And interestingly enough, the pain went away.
Awesome.
So when someone says they're a chiropractor, I have this warm, fuzzy feeling immediately.
Right.
So thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing that.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, it's good to be with all of you tonight in this celebration. Scott Irwin is with us, and I want to tell you a little bit about Scott. Scott and I have had the privilege of knowing each other for a number of years. You know, I say that I coach Scott, but Coach Scott really in the last few years has been coaching me. He's so giving and so gentle. He always shows up to serve. How are you doing? What's happening? How can I serve you? There have been a number of occasions in the last 8 years that Scott has called me and just said, I felt impressed to call you for this reason. And it's almost eerie how intuitive this man is. He truly lives these principles on a daily basis. He has become a product of this process. When he asked if he could do anything to serve our group, I said, oh, Scott, it would be wonderful if you could come on a Tuesday night and we could talk about how applying these principles in our lives impacts our own joy, our relationship with committed companions, with children, with employees, with businesses, coworkers, etc. Because this is really the substance, the foundation of all of those relationships and the building of a successful business. I asked Scott if he would do that, and we started sharing some stories, and he went off for about 45 minutes one coaching session and just shared some amazing things. I said, oh, we've got to have you come on the call and share with us. And he has graciously agreed to do so. Just a really quick story. I was on a coaching session with a gentleman by the name of Mark Newman, who is one of the sales managers with a medical device company, and I was coaching with all of the leadership in this company. And he said in one of our coaching sessions, can anybody outside our company do your assessment? And I said, certainly. He says, well, hang on a second. Next thing I know, he's three-weighed Scott into the call. And I get to meet Scott for the first time and gave him the code for taking the assessment, and he took it, and we did a debrief. The next thing I know, they're coming to Salt Lake City. They just felt impressed to do so, and I still remember sitting in our office down in Salt Lake, and there's Mark, and there's Scott, and there's me, and it's like we're all sitting there like, okay, we all know we're supposed to be here, but nobody really knows why. And he said, you know, I told Marilyn this morning. She says, where are you going? She says, I'm going to Salt Lake to meet with a gentleman by the name of Dave Blanchard. She says, well, why are you going? He says, I don't know. I just know I'm supposed to be there. He shared that with me. Mark said something similar, and I felt a similar impression. And we have just become fast friends since then. In the mission to bring correct principles to the world to change lives. So Scott, so excited to have you here. Scott went to the University of Arkansas. He played football there as a quarterback for a couple of years with the football team, and then took the flag football team to a national championship. He graduated from University of Arkansas and started in the pipe business 12 years ago. He broke away and started his own company.
30 years ago, Dave.
I'm thinking about Apex. When did you start Apex? Yeah. About 12 years ago?
12 years ago, right.
Yeah, 12 years ago. Apex has grown into what we could say is one of the largest used pipe companies in the United States. And it's no mistake. I want all of you to really listen closely tonight for a couple of reasons. One, not only is Scott's relationship with Marilyn just unbelievable, and with his children, and you'll hear more about that tonight, his business for this economy is booming. And people in the used pipe business are crying. They're just crying. But his business is booming, and there are reasons why that's happening. So if we can listen tonight, because when we get done here, what we want to be able to do, each one of us, is step back and say, how could I more effectively take these principles and trust them and use them in my life? How could I become even a better person? Now, we want to be careful as we go through this not to beat ourselves up for any mistakes or challenges that we may be having. We want to be looking on our assessments more at the blue and green bars than at the orange and red ones. Tonight is about celebrating victories, those little pivotal moments when we make the best and the next right decision. So as we go through this discussion, let's focus in that vein. Well, Scott, it is so good to have you here. We have to start tonight. You're with our coaches on Friday, and we're going to do this, and then we didn't do it. We need to have you call out the hogs, the Razorbacks. Can you do that for us?
I'd love to do that, Dave. It's he goes, woo, pig, suey. Woo, pig, suey. Woo, pig, suey, Razorbacks. If you get 85,000 people in the stadium do that, you're ready to run through the tunnel and hit the horseshoe and go get them, Dave. You're ready.
Well, it's so good to have you. You were at Carson's football practice
well,
a few minutes ago.
My son is playing 9-year-old tackle football for the first time, and it is, I don't know how my mother went through it watching this deal, because they're out there just pushing each other around, and I'm just fighting over there, just fighting with him, you know, on the sideline, just on the inside. It's a lot tougher to watch than it is to play.
Well, let's start with Carson. You shared a story with our coaches on Friday, and I have had so many people send me emails about that story. I'd love to have you share it again. This was a baseball season story. Would you share that story with us?
In Houston, they're pretty advanced in their competition, and when it gets to about 8 years old, they have the Post Oak Little League in Houston has an 8-9-year-old machine pitch in a baseball park that's just pristine. They play music in between the innings. All the kids get their name announced when they come to the plate, and then they have like a nickname that they say on their forum, and they do a play-by-play, and it's just really a first-class deal. And we've been playing a lot of church leagues and where everybody gets a trophy at the end of the year and things like that, but in 8-9 years old, you win to get a trophy now. And Carson had done pretty well batting, and, you know, he was dancing in the outfield a little bit, but he had a pretty good season. And we were playing one of the last games of the year, and we were playing the Bears. And it was that they played 6th inning, and it was the top of the 6th inning, and Carson was playing left field, and they're throwing the balls up to each other in the outfield warming up, and somebody threw a high ball to him, and it came down and hit him right in the eye. And I saw it happen. I was a dugout dad for the two coaches, and I love being a dugout dad for the kids so well, and really get to try to get them ready before they go up to bat while the coaches are on first and third. And so Carson's out there. He gets hit by the ball. I see it. Crocodile tears starting with him, and I started to run out there like a mom, and I didn't. I had the wherewithal to send a coach out there. And so Jeff ran out and came back and said he thinks he's okay. And then another dad who was on the outside of the fence came down to the back of the dugout and says, "Scott, I'm not sure Carson's okay." I looked out there, and Carson's got his glove on his knee and his hand on his knee, and he looked like he's paying attention, so I know something's wrong. Because usually we're trying to say baseball ready for about 36 times every inning to our outfield. And he's out there, and so we end up getting him out, but our team are the Commodores, and we're down by 2 runs going in the bottom of the last inning. And Carson is the 4th guy up to bat. The first 2 guys get up and get hits, and they're on 1st and 3rd. The 3rd batter comes up and strikes out, and Carson's getting ready to come to the plate. And before he did that, I had a chance, once he settled down just a little bit, and I walked over to him, and I really felt all my coaching had really just was really about to serve me right now, that I had from Ogmandino and Dave and Intentional Creation. And I looked at Carson right in the eyes, and I said, "Carson, you got every reason in the world to get up there and strike out. I mean, you just got hit in the eye. Your eye hurts. It's embarrassing. You've been crying. You really hadn't been swinging that good lately at the plate. You know, you've got all these things that you could certainly get up there and strike out, and nobody in this whole stadium is going to blame you for that. But what I'm going to ask you to do right now is dig deep down inside you where you've never been really before in a space. And I want you to think about that line that I gave you last night. The night before, I'd given him a box that had a brass line that belonged to his grandfather, my dad, who had passed away about 4 years ago. And I said, I want you to bring out that line that's inside you, that really tough guy. I want you to dig down deep, and I want you to bring him out. I want you to come out fighting. And when you get up to that plate, I want you to do nothing but concentrate hard and hit that ball as hard as you can right now, son." He says, so I said that, you know, said a little bit more like that. He goes, "Okay, Dad, I got it." And he's never said that before to me. And so he comes up the plate, and they go, "Now batting for the Commodores, number 8, Carson Irwin, the Carsonator." And so he gets up to plate, and so they put the ball in the tube, and he lets the first one go through. The next one comes through, and he cracks it, and it bounces off the right center field fence, and it scores a guy from first, and Carson has a stand-up double, and everybody's screaming and yelling, and I've kind of got tears in my eyes over there in the dugout because I'm just so proud of him at the time that he was able to control his emotions. And that's all we, you know, that's one of the in the scrolls that I listen to all the time on the CD, that you have the power to control your emotions. And we ended up tying the game. But about a week or two later, I came home from work one day, and something just dawned on me. I have, in my office at home, I have three shelves for my three kids that have their pictures up, and I have little drawers underneath and cabinets where I'll write a letter to them, and I'll stick them in there, and one day they'll find these letters. But I wrote a letter out to Carson telling him that he had the power to control his emotions, and I never wanted him to forget how he did at that time when he was playing for the Commodores. And I think that's something that'll stay with both of us for a long time. And now I can springboard off of that because I have challenges right now. When we were talking to the coaches, I just signed a couple of big deals, and I had it working, and Apex was really doing good, and I was using words like, well, Dave, we're at the tipping point right now. And I read that book a few years ago, and I was all jacked up about the pipe business and how well we were doing. And since then, we've had a lot of setbacks that didn't quite work out the way they were, what I thought they were going to have. And so that's kind of the way life is. It cycles from the good and the bad. But it's not your life. It's your life situation, and you can control your emotions towards that. And so I'm back on the scrolls again, acting now, living each day as if it were my last, and we're back fighting again to try to get our share of the market back. So,
wow. You know, I would never wish a challenge on anyone, but so many are in the middle of one right now. They're just buried with so much frustration, either in a relationship or finances. Walk through with us, if you would, how it is that with all that you need to do to be the CEO of this company, and I know you also do some work as a member of a board of directors of some charitable foundations.
Right.
How do you find time to be at a football practice? How do you find time to spend full attention with Marilyn? Share with us how you use these principles so you can actually show up, and
Dave,
no matter what's going on.
I have worked at this really hard, that I try not to go into the future and think about things in the future. Normally, a lot of fear comes from that because you have no control over the future. And I try not to go into the past very much, except for educational things, that I want to try to learn a lesson and not to do that again.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm talking to somebody or I'm in a moment somewhere with somebody, I focus all my attempt to always try to focus my attention on that very moment, because all we really have is right now. And I remember being at some coaching sessions over the years and to some clinics with your coaches, and little things have popped in my mind. Like, I think when we were in Minnesota, somebody said, wait a second, just because this guy might not like the way this guy looks, or shake it off, listen to him. There's something that this person wants to teach you. And I kind of, in my belief, I feel like God is all around us, and he's always trying to guide us. And I pray for that every morning. So I'm always looking for what the next right thing is to do, and how can I help the person or serve the person that I'm with. You know, certainly want to build bridges with them and plant seeds and try to help them, because it always will come back. It'll come back in 1,000 different ways, but it will always come back to you, maybe 10 years from now, maybe 10 minutes, but things always seem to cycle back around. So I really try to stay focused in the moment wherever I am, Dave.
How hard is it, Scott, when you're trying to get your market share and protect the family, and because that's really, as you said on Friday, that's what it's all about, is you know, generating this for your family. How hard is it to be impatient where, okay, I'm going to serve, but I need it to come back right away? I've watched you over the years just give without counting the cost, and I've watched the cycle of how those things come back, and some of them come back quite quickly. Some of them I've watched a year later, 2 years later. It's amazing to watch your service come back what is it in the moment that allows you to give so unselfishly without counting the cost?
Dave, I think it's just the way I think that the way we ought to live is we're here for a moment, a blink of an eye, and I think that's all we can do is to be here and help and serve. And by giving love, you receive love.
May I share something that happened to me on Saturday morning?
I want to hear this story. I've heard bits and pieces of it.
Bits and pieces of it.
And I sent you a text and said, I hope you have some real peace out there, Dave. I wasn't going to say I hope you rest in peace out there.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned the triathlon a moment ago, and yeah. Linda was talking, and I almost shared it then, because it was such a sacred moment, and I think it applies to this. I know you've got a tremendous faith in a God in heaven, and it's like when we say abundance is not something we win, it's not something we seek to receive, it's a sacred process in which we actively participate and eventually become. We trust that we send it out and it comes back. Saturday morning, we were getting ready to do the triathlon, and it was my turn. It was 10 minutes to 9. We got started a little late because there was a horrific storm the night before, and it blew the buoys. It was blowing north, and we're in Utah, and about halfway down the lake is Idaho. That's 11 miles. The buoys had gone over 11 miles down the lake in the storm. They were trying to gather them back up and reset up the swim course, and only 29 of the 80 volunteers showed up because of the storm. Nobody thought they'd even be doing the race because it was thunder and lightning when we woke up at 5 o'clock. By 7, the sun was shining. It was a beautiful, beautiful day, but it came my time to swim. And Ramona had rented for her and I these triathlon wetsuits. They're about $300 or $400, so, you know, for $40 we'd rent them, you know, because we don't do this all the time, maybe once a year. When I put this thing on, I thought, man, this thing's kind of snug, you know? I'd lost 30 pounds, but it's still kind of snug. I think, well, maybe that's, you know, I could move my arms really well, but it's a little tight on my chest and abdomen. Well, you know, the whistle blows, and you take off, and I swam out about 250 yards out to the first buoy, and I rounded the corner, and I'm coming toward the next buoy, and I'm losing my breath. I can't breathe. I just can't breathe. And you get to a point where you can't lie on your back and catch your breath. I couldn't do a side stroke and catch my breath. And because of the distance between the lifeguards, there was no way someone was going to get to me. I mean, I reached a point where I could feel the panic sweeping over my body. And I know the physiology. I knew fear dendrites were shutting down my consciousness. Cortisol was coursing through my... I could feel all that happening. And there I am, in very deep water, and there wasn't too much I could do. My wetsuit was supposed to keep me buoyant, and I was just sinking. And I remember Scott just praying, "Dear God, help me." And just as I'm ready to slip almost into unconsciousness, I hear this voice that says, "Dad, are you okay?" Interesting set of circumstances. Life has a way of working its way out. One of our daughters could not participate. She had been ill, and she had to drop out of the race last week. And one of my sons took her spot. He was going to register and do the Olympic, but he decided just to take her spot. Well, because of that, he had to swim in her heat. So he had to put on the purple cap like all the girls did in that heat, because they were all girls, 20 to 30-year-old girls, and he had to swim with them. And they were in the heat right behind mine. So just as I'm just in absolute crisis, and he's a fast swimmer, so he was leading out that group, here comes David in the nick of time. "Dad, are you okay?" And I said, "No, I'm not." And he took a hold of my arm and just held me up. He's a great swimmer, so he could, until I caught my breath. And then he swam with me the rest of the swim. And it was a great gift. Then we went and did the bike after that. It felt so good to breathe. We got toward the end of the bike race, and there was a lady pushing a bike along who had a flat tire, and that was my turn. I had a spare tube and a CO2 cartridge and the tools she needed, so she got those, and she got to finish the race, and I got to finish the race, and we got all done. There was just this sense of unity and camaraderie, and two sons and daughter, Ramona and I, were able to finish and celebrate the victory. It's become more and more poignant that in moments of crisis, there is a power greater than us that's there. And this is not church. I don't want to turn anybody off. I just want you to know. I know. I just know, because so many times those things have happened. And perhaps that's part of the energy, Scott, because I know that's how you live.
Right.
That in those moments, there's a power greater than us, and that can help us to understand that there doesn't need to be a direct financial reward for each moment of service. We just show up, as you said, fully available in service. Now, tell us a little bit more about, here's Dad. We'll get to business in a moment for those of you who are interested in having Scott tell you about the business side of the equation. But take us to the relationship side with Marilyn and the rest of your children.
Well, there's a lot of people out there that own businesses, and the coaches own their own businesses. And I think a lot of times in the past, I would wake up in the morning with a cold sweat at 4 or 5 in the morning and just scared to death. I didn't know how we were going to make it. Some things had happened when I had sold my other part of my business, my partnership. I owned 49%, and then my partner had found out that I was going to stay in the pipe business, so he withheld some money, my payments from me. And so things got really tough, and they stayed tough for a long time. And I was scared, scared of failing, scared of not being able to do things for my family. And we were just kind of, Marilyn and I were just getting started, but Marilyn's a trooper. I mean, if we live in a one-bedroom apartment, it doesn't matter as long as we're all together. And so it was. There was a lot of tough times, and we still have tough times. And in fact, we were, But I've come a long way. And my wife and I were sitting out talking about this the other night, and she was talking about me getting ready to talk to these coaches, and she's telling me things. We're telling this, and then. Well, make sure you tell them this, and make sure just damn it, I'll tell them. Put me on the phone here. I'll tell them, because she knows me so well, and she just knows how much that having a life coach has changed not just our business and our business life, but my life at home. And I'll go to work, and I'll fight tooth and nail. We'll give, take, do whatever we kind of the next right thing is in business. But when I leave the office and when my hand hits that door, to come in the house, because I have a life coach and Ogmandino and my wife, I can instantly leave the work world behind, and right when my hand hits that door, it goes completely now to my family. And I am totally present when I come in. It used to be with the kids, and I know a lot of y'all know this, where they jump up and they go, Daddy's home, Daddy's home. And it used to be like that, but it's not really like that anymore. But I go seek them out, and I go find out about their world and what happened to them that day. And, you know, at the dinner table, sometimes it comes out, sometimes it doesn't. But, you know, it's just special moments when you go and you lay in bed with them at night, and you have some tools with you. And it's not a manipulation thing. It's just some tools that these coaches give you that you're able to become fully present, ask opening questions, sit there and listen, step into their world, ask them how they felt about that, admire them for their efforts, and you build kids that are learning. They're learning from their mom and dad, and they don't even know what they're learning, but they know that their mom and dad's care for them. And I'm the luckiest, most blessed person in the world to be married to Marilyn and having a 5, 7, and 9-year-old to go through life right now. It's just, it, that's why I go to work, is to help provide for my family and all the people that work in our company, their families. All the families we try to feed and take care of. But it's just because of a life coach, it's not about me. It's about these kids. It's about my wife, and I'm able to distinguish that and leave work at home and come home and be the dad that I want to try to strive to be in this world, to be the best that I can and try to teach these kids with all these challenges and peers and hormones and all these things we're about to get into. We're just trying to put the best base down for them when they get in these decision-making processes, challenges are about to come to.
All right, we have to go one step farther.
Okay.
Or further. The difference between lifting and building, and, you know, some of us feel, well, if I don't point out what's wrong, how are they going to know what needs to be fixed? And I watch you and listen to you, and you share with me what happens with your children, and it seems like your total focus is lifting and building, complimenting, pointing out the things they're doing right. Could you say a little bit about that for us?
Well, everybody wants to hear that, naturally, especially children. And I know growing up, I can remember sitting at the table, and my dad, who was a wonderful man, a surgeon, and was a doctor for all the right reasons. And the poor guy would say to me at the dinner table, he'd say, Scott, you know, great game. I think you need to, your drop back needs to be a little quicker. Well, the first thing I'm going to do is defend my drop back and say something asinine. I'm sorry, that's kind of a pipe term, and there may be a few more of those come out tonight. And protect myself and say, well, we throw in timing, so it didn't really matter. So I justify my reason. So I keep hearing those kind of things, and I don't want to be that to my kids. There's time when they'll come and allow me to give them instruction, but until then, we just want to enjoy the moment and the happiness and try to find the good in everything that we do. And I think kids, they just want to be loved. They need the discipline, but they want to be loved, and they want to be admired and cherished and held and lifted up. I think that's where they get their strength to go out into the world and do great things.
This is a great principle to master. I was thinking, Scott, I'm sitting here where we have our couples retreats, and we take them out on the first day in the summertime on these ATVs where you sit side by side, and there's an OS bar. You can imagine what that bar is for. And we have the wives drive, and most of them have never driven an all-terrain vehicle off-road, and the husbands are sitting in the passenger seat hanging onto this OS bar, and their instructions are, for the entire morning while your wife is driving, you have to keep pointing out all the wonderful things she's doing, like, ooh, nice choice, as they're going between rocks, because the temptation is when you hit a rock is to say, you just hit a rock! It's like, duh, you know, what was that? We know when we do something wrong. And have someone just give a gentle touch on the shoulder. Way to handle that. You did that really well. It's very interesting by the time we get to the lunchtime how unusual it is for us in relationships to be looking for the good and building, believing that somehow we need to point out what's wrong. What a great thing to put into your family and into your life.
I think the coaches have said, see it and say it. And if you're present and you're watching, it's easy to see catch somebody doing something good. And if you can catch your kids doing something good, they don't forget those comments. They don't forget them.
They just want to be better. Yeah. Well, thank you. Let's move to business. You've had some amazing experiences in business using these principles.
Right.
Would you share with us one or two of the more... And we started talking about this on Friday with our coaches, and we never got to the story. So for the coaches who are with us tonight, walk us through a little bit about the development of your relationship with one of the largest contractors in the world as it relates to the golf oil spill.
Golf oil spill, right.
Yeah, and how using these principles helped you secure quite a contract.
Well, I think using the principles, but also doing the assessment and knowing what your strengths are and what your challenges are. And I know one of my strengths is I have a high intuition. And so I know that I can trust that. And it's practically never let me down before. But there was a Gulf, the Gulf oil spill going on, and there was there's a contractor in Grand Isle, Louisiana called Chet Morrison Contractors. And they're a big outfit down there, and we have done business with them for a pretty long time, and we've earned a lot of business from them by doing the next right thing. And if we can't make a delivery, then we chose not to take the order. Well, since then, we found that these guys, when they say something, they want it now, and we have developed Apex to be able to be a 24-hour service company if we need to. We've employed some joint venture partners that can handle those kind of things for us and be mobile and go take care of things. But I was working with Chet. They had kind of an inquiry out that they were setting these pontoons out to protect the coast, and they were welding them in long lines, and then they're driving pylons down in the ground into the water to kind of hold that oil spill back. Well, they were about to place an order with us. We'd sent some temporary stuff down there, but the guy that called me didn't work for Chet Morrison. He was a Louisiana guy. His name was Philip, and Philip wasn't with Chet Morrison, and I thought, well, that's kind of strange that this guy's not working with him, but he's kind of, I didn't know if it was one of those Louisiana brother-in-law things going on down there, or didn't really know, but this happened on a Thursday and Friday, and on Monday morning, I decided just on my own, I was going to go down to Grand Isle and go to Chet Morrison and call Philip, and so I landed at 8 o'clock in the morning in New Orleans, and I called Philip, and I said, hey, I'm in town. I was going around and see Chet Morrison, but I want to stop by and, see you first. And he says, yeah, sure, let me tell you, brought yourself on. I can do my coon-ass thing, but I'm not. And he says, come on down and see me. So I drove down a little bit out of the way, but I went down there, and I said, hey, Philip, nice to meet you. Tell me what's going on, and he kind of described the whole project, and I said, gosh, Philip, I'd really like to go down and see Jerome and Pat and all those guys down there. I said, do you think it'd be okay if I go down there? And he says, Scott, they're real busy right now. Why don't you just pass on it right now and maybe in another time? And I think anybody else in the steel pipe business or, if you can relate this to your businesses out there, they would run the power play, and they'd say, "Well, wait a second. I'm selling pipe too. I got the right to go to see these guys. I want to make sure I'm talking to decision makers on this, And that could happen a lot, but my intuition told me honor this guy, and so I decided not to do that. And I ended up going back to Houston. Well, I got back to Houston, and they called and they placed another order with us because they'd gotten another order from a parish, and I said, Jerome, thanks for the order, but I want to make sure that Pat's taking care of this deal. And he says, oh, man, do not worry about Pat. We take care of Pat. You just make sure you get the pipe out here to us. And I said, okay. And so we shipped the pipe, and then finally they said, why don't you come on down here? We're looking at this thing could be really out of hand. I mean, they could look at possibly at this time trying to, they're looking at doing maybe 100 miles of this thing, which would be a phenomenal amount of pipe that they would buy. We were going to employ two steel mills. I had spiral wheel mills on standby to start rolling this stuff. It was going to be a huge deal. And so I go down there. I drive down. You work your way through Grand Isle. You see all these people suffering because they can't go fishing. They can't do what they offshore drilling. They've got a lot of people just... Your heart just breaks for these guys. You go and eat at a restaurant on your way down there, and there's just a lot of sadness down there. And I go down, and I get to the meeting point in Grand Isle, and Chet Morrison's going to be in the room, and then his number one guy, Jerome, is in there. And so I walk in there, and there was another guy in there, and I didn't know who that guy was at the table. And so he said, Chet, sit down. Hi, Scott. How are you? And Jerome said, hi, Scott, and have you met Philip? And Philip was the guy that I honored the last time down there. And the very first thing Philip said to me was, hey, Scott, I just want to tell you thank you for respecting me and making sure that I was taking care of this deal. Well, as our meeting went along and we decided what was, you know, the possibility of the scope of this job, they were asking me what pipe out there could we get quick. And if you're a pipe salesman, or you can relate this to y'all's business out there, if you get to design the pipe piles and what pipe you're using, you're naturally going to design something that you have in your inventory or you know where you can pick something up cheap. I'm sitting there with these guys, these monster contractor, helping them design these piles on pipe I know that I could get delivered in there to them. And it was just a beautiful scenario. It didn't turn out to be a huge job, but it was a real nice job for us. And in fact, we just got paid from them last Friday. But it was just, you know, my gut feeling told me to just honor this person and try to do the next right thing with them and not try to, in our old business where I was for 18 years, I was a partner with an ex-professional baseball player who was never going to be outworked. This guy worked, I'd put him up against anybody on this phone or anybody I've ever met in my life, but we treated everybody like a 3-2 count. It was like we're going to fight it for that very last dime out there, the very last. We want it all. We're going to make our cold calls. We're going to source out the pipe. We're going to do everything we can to maximize every deal to the last penny. Well, at APEC, I had to finally get away from that after 18 years because deep down in my heart, I felt a burning desire that there was a better way to do that. And then I meet Dave. The coaching starts. I learn how to start bringing this out from within me. And we treat every customer, what can we do to serve you? What we step into their world. We find out what they need. What can we do to help? What can we do to make their job easier? Sometimes we might not have the best deal on it, and they may lose a job, and we may help them find the pipe somewhere else. But we believe, and a lot of contractors might not remember, but we believe that it's going to come back around, and most of the time it really does, and that's been the real key to APEC's business. We don't have each salesman out there banging phones, selling pipe for themselves. Everybody works together on full commission on how the company does, and so everybody's fighting for anybody that answers that phone has got a smile on their face, and they're intrinsically validating. A lot of people don't know what that is right now. But we step into their world, and we try to see what we can do to be of service for these people, not how much money we can make. But it comes. You may give another pipe dealer the lion's share of a deal, but they'll remember it. It will come back to you. It will come back. There is honor out there in the world.
We've got a little noise in the background with anybody who might be on the master line. If you could just mute your phone by pressing *6, that would be greatly appreciated. Scott, this is such an important piece for us to end this call on tonight, and you just led into it so beautifully. When you were in college, you sold cemetery property. I mean, you don't have trouble going to a door approach and selling something. I mean, you can sell.
Dave, I sold something to these guys one night, this Spanish family that couldn't even hardly speak English. But they ended up buying. I mean, we're sitting in these people's house, and they didn't have really a whole lot of money, but they knew they needed this cemetery property for their family, and they just knew that I had love in my heart and the tones that were coming out that they knew it was the right thing to do. So it was a great experience, and with a great company. It was a summer 11-week sales training program with 19 guys from Baylor here in Houston at Rosewood Memorial Park. Just a wonderful thing, and that's how I got my job. Is a guy saw my resume and said, if you can sell cemetery property, you ought to be able to sell pipe. So that's how I got a job.
And then you spend the years with this partner where he's squeezing every penny out of every deal.
Well, that's all he knew. It's when you're a professional baseball player, that's, you know, it's a hard, tough business. And that's just the way the guy was. There's nothing wrong with him. It's just I felt there was a better way. And when I left that company, And I realized how many people resented the way that our company had done business at the time. I knew that I was on the right path. And with a life coach and the Og Mandiner principles, I knew that we could build Apex the way that fire that was inside me that I wanted it to be. Now, I'd like to say one thing about that, Dave, to a lot of people out there now that are trying to work on their business. I had an interesting conversation the other night with a buddy of mine, and he was asking me about this life coaching deal, and he says, you know, Scott, I want to get a life coach because, you know, I really think Goldman Sachs is a great company, and everybody at Goldman Sachs has a life coach, so I want to get a life coach. And I said, well, that's great. I think life coaches are good, but why don't you try to make your company like Goldman Sachs? Why don't you try to, you know, why can't your company be like Goldman Sachs? You know, you take your key guys and make sure that you're getting that 30% reserve, latent reserve of effort out of them. He goes, gosh, I need that bad. I said, you need to talk to these intentional creation guys and let them get you set up on a program because they can teach you how to motivate your company. And how to you take care of yourself first, you get the understanding of it, you grasp the principles, and then you start letting it infiltrate into your company. And then the next thing you know, I'll compare Apex to Goldman Sachs any day of the week.
Oh, yeah.
That's the way we stand.
And I know that's the way your company runs because I coached with you,
right.
And I have the privilege of coaching
a few others.
Oh, and over the years you've sent me 30 or 40 of the most amazing human beings. And for those listening, what you just said is powerful. I wasn't expecting us to go this direction. It's not just bringing the principles into your life. It's, you just said it, make your company reflect this kind of a culture, and it's attractive. People are attracted to these kinds of principles. They're attracted to people who show up the way Scott does and says, how can I serve you? What do you need? And then you meet the needs of the customer. Those are the companies that are going to succeed in today's marketplace. Go ahead.
When I was leaving tonight, Dave, to go to my son's football practice, Jason, one of our salesmen, I heard him on the phone. He goes, you know, what can I do to help you? Tell me more about that. And I just went, I know we're buzzing now because that's the way to do it. You know, that's you serve. You serve everyone. And so, I'm happy to put Apex up against any company out there as far as is the right way to run a business. And there's bad days, you know, and everybody, life cycles, and there's some things and life situations that always go right. But you can control your emotions, and you can go back to the principles. And you put that CD in with Og Mandino talking to you, and listen to him talk. And you get up in the morning, and I say the prayer that Og Mandino says every morning, and I'll live this day as if it were my last, and all the things that come out there. And it's the way to start your day off because that's what we have is right now. This is our last day. And I try to always remember that when I start getting my little feeling sorry for myself and boo-hoo, we didn't get that contract. But maybe there's a bigger one coming behind it that we would have used our money on there that we wouldn't have been able to possibly invest in another, you know, a pipe purchase or inventory purchase or something like that.
I still remember coaching with Jason on a Tuesday. And he shared with me a story. He said last Friday, and it makes more sense now, Chet Morrison, contractors called and needed some pipe delivered, but they needed it delivered on Monday.
Monday, right.
And he said, we really needed the business.
Oh, yeah.
He said, Dave, I couldn't take the order. I said, well, share with me more. And he said, I knew I could not deliver it. I could have it there Tuesday morning. I told him I could have it there Tuesday for sure. If you can wait till Tuesday, I can deliver it. But I cannot promise you Monday when I know I can't do that. And he passed on the order. And there was a little bit of tension in the moment. You know, well, is a little bit of a, okay, then we'll go to somebody who can, you know. But he said, we just had to be honorable. We really had to be honorable. And they did go somewhere else, and you shared with us on Friday, that company still hasn't got that pipe from that, Chet still didn't get the pipe from that other company. You ended up filling that order, and now they give you first look on every deal.
Yeah, they'll call They'll call us, and there's a lot of companies out there that we've earned it that way. But, you know, Dave, the pipe business, it's a tough business. And I would be, if you put a poll on that, 90% of the pipe companies are going to take that order because, you know what, it would have made it Monday afternoon, but Tuesday morning's okay. You know, they'll be okay. We'll still get the thing invoiced, and we'll, you know, we know where the job is. We can always put a lien on it and get the money. But that's just not the way that we want to try to behave. And it's just paid, it's multiplied itself a hundredfold for us doing that way. It might not seem like the most popular thing, but it's just the way to live. It's just the way we do it at Apex.
Honoring people, giving them what they need, walking home, touching the doorknob, and it all stays at the office. Oh, we've all had those moments when that takes about all the energy you've got to leave it at the door. Walk in, be there for the family, serve them in the moment, go to sleep like a baby, wake up the next morning and do it all again, day after day, intentionally creating, knowing that 200 days from now it's going to be the best that it can be, using visualization to get clear about the future, but not to go there to escape and avoid, not to go in the past and beat ourselves up, but learn from our experience. These are the very basic principles, and these are the ones that we teach in the six qualities of intentional creation, Og Mandino, for the 21st century. Scott, what a pleasure. Love you, man.
I love you too, Dave. And I'm honored to be here. I'm very humbled to talk to everyone here, especially the people listening for the first time. And one thing you know when your company's doing something good, and I'll break it down kind of sterile, is that when your lowest paid employees are asking questions and doing things and bringing value to your company, like Megan did, you shared on Friday what Megan had done for your company, and we have a girl that works for us that's only been there for 2 years, and she's bringing so much value to us now because we've unlocked that 30% latent reserve of effort and determination on her part that she feels like one of the team. She feels at our company, it's not who's right, it's what's right. And we just get in there and brainstorm, and everybody's treated equal. And that's when you've got those kind of people fighting for you out there, you got to be doing something right.
Well, thanks for being with us tonight, and thank you all that are joining us as guests. If there's anything that we can do to be of service to you, please let us know. If you are invited by one of our affiliates, get back to them. If you're invited by one of our coaches, talk to them. If anyone here is interested in knowing how they could become an official Og Mandino affiliate, we're going to be going into an affiliate call in just a couple of moments. Let me give you that phone number. You're sure welcome to join us. That number is 218. Get a pen out. It's 218-936-7999. That's the same number you called to be on this call. But the pin for that call is 366-398. Pound, 366-398 pound. You're sure welcome to join. Get back to your coach and consider what your life would be like if you were to get these principles, the home study program. It's 30 hours, Og Mandino narrating the scrolls, us tearing the scrolls apart into pieces, these six qualities of an intentional creator, very specific principles, practices, techniques for taking on life. And when things are awful, still being okay so that you can be in creation, creating the most you can with what you've been given, and in partnership with a power greater than yourself. This is the quickest way to success. Now, there are people that want to sell you shortcuts and all kinds of fantasy fairies, but you can buy those and live with all kinds of discouragement. This is Well, that's really a bold statement. I'm just going to make it. These are the principles of success, and they're time-tested. And we invite you to embrace them and bring them into your life so that you can find joy. And, Scott, I love what you said tonight so candidly. It's not always perfect.
No. What is it, Dave? That sucks, but I'm okay?
Yeah, that sucks, but I'm okay. Well, thank you, Scott, and thank you, Linda, for sharing tonight. Thanks, everybody, for being with us. Join us on the affiliate call if you'd like to. Get back to your coach or your affiliate. Let us be of service to you. That's what we're all about. There's nothing more exciting than to hear someone have a breakthrough, something occur in their life that brings joy and peace and prosperity. Thanks, everybody. Have a great night, and good night.
Thank you.
Night.